Hi, this is Eddie from Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, Illinois, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, sucker.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, THU and Mike, and joining me once again, as always, Mr. David Draper. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Let's get this movable feast underway.
Yes. It's going to be a boulder of a podcast, don't you know, folks? As today, we have a double feature. It's been a while since we've done a double feature, but we've got Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then it's all about the Lost World Jurassic Park. So this episode is Raiders of the Lost World.
And I'm not sure if you're going to say it or not, but I believe we should mention that the second half of the feature was suggested to us by a fan.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Was it Brad? I forget. Somebody said, who was it that said it? I forget who said it. I think it was my buddy Brad Mull. And I posted on Facebook the image of the Tyrannosaurus in the San Diego housing development. I'll make sure I say San Diego correctly, because when I posted it on Facebook, I accidentally said San Francisco. I mean, they're all Californian cities. They're all the same to me.
San
but
Diego.
I get it.
San Diego. Vagina.
Uh-huh, that's right. So, Brad was like, if you have any questions, if you have this, if you have that, if you're not understanding anything, I don't want it to ruin your I'm like, yeah, my understanding of the plot has nothing to do with my enjoyment or not of these types of movies, because these just ain't my movies. I prefer car crashes to dinosaurs.
Well, I mean, I prefer dinosaur movies, but like, there's really only one thing in the film that I think needs an explanation, and we'll get to it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of a behind the scenes kind of thing where like stuff was cut.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, because it's towards the end of the movie. But
yeah,
and the way it's set up, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But
yeah, well, we'll
get there. We'll get there. Yeah.
Yeah, we will get to the dinosaur returns, because, oh boy. Oh boy. But first up is Raiders of the Lost Ark. And, wow. Okay. I get it. Even with everyone not liking the Big Bang Theory, pointing out the fact that Indy has no outcome to the end of the story, I really enjoyed it. It was damn good. Except
they're pointing out point of the film is he never actually gets the treasure.
Right.
Like, okay. Right. Go on. I'm sorry. You just mentioned something that I hate. So
I know. Everybody hates it, because everyone hates the Big Bang Theory. It's fine. It's okay. But you're right. Absolutely. He never gets the treasure. My problem is, and this is my biggest bias here, is because the only one I ever saw as a kid and as an adult, because there's nothing past Last Crusade, was Last Crusade. So I know my bias, damn it. But as I'm watching this, I have the only thing this film doesn't have is Henry Jones Sr. That's the only thing this film does not, the first film does not have, to me personally. It's the same story.
Yes. I mean, again, you're pointing out it's a feature, not a bug. Right. It's like a James Bond film is basically the same story over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a modern day Bond.
Yeah.
I think I even said on the podcast, the story of how this came to be was, I think Spielberg was in Hawaii after Close Encounters, and Lucas was there after Star Wars, and they were talking, and Spielberg said, I would really like to direct a Bond movie one day, and Lucas said, I have something better. And it was intended to be a series. That's why I said when we were talking about Lost World that Spielberg really didn't do sequels. He'd never done sequels.
Right.
And obviously he'd done the other Indiana Jones movies, all two of them. Yeah. But like Indiana Jones is a series. It's hard to explain. I can see a normal person going, okay, you're just sort of splitting hairs here. But yeah, I mean, and one of the things that I really sort of interested me about doing this and thinking about this was the way the Indiana Jones movies and in a way the Lost World, I kind of wish Spielberg did more sequels because I think he has an interesting take where Raiders and Jurassic Park set the template.
Right.
And then each of the sequels took an element from the template and played it up so that both Lost World and Temple of Doom play up the darker elements. And then Last Crusade played up the lighter elements.
Right.
And it's just interesting to me that, but, you know, because usually it's just basically it is literally the same film. You know, John McClane gets caught up with terrorists again. Another shark attacks Amity Island again. You know, it's the same movie over again. And then Last Crusade wasn't so much because, you know, there were different locations, different characters.
Right.
Different set. I mean, it's the same formula.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But when I saw Sulla for the first time here, I'm like, oh, hey, look, it's Sulla. And I'm like,
okay, look, buddy, you got to – that was what? That's reversed.
No, I know. That's my point. I know he debuted here. I get it. I understand that. But for me, because I had never seen this before, even though I knew he was in the movie, I'm like, oh, hey, that's – yeah. But no, I know that.
That is a complaint actually about Last Crusade is that both Sala and Brody are much more cartoonish than they are in Raiders. In Raiders, they're more serious. I mean, Sala has some good jokes.
Yeah.
Or funny lines, but he's goofier in Last Crusade. Brody is completely like if you're a Martin Brody fan, you probably don't like Last Crusade because they really kind of undermine his. It's the best joke, one of the best jokes in the whole film where Indy gives this long speech about how he speaks a dozen languages. He's been to 100 countries. He's blah, blah, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he'll blend right in and he's wandering around. Hello. Does anybody speak English?
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody speak ancient Sanskrit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's hilarious. And what is interesting to me is, with Raiders in all films of this era type is, because we just recently, in episode 81, we did, my buddy Steve and I did this new segment on the show that I started now, where the movie box office, X number of years apart. So we'll take like 1981 and compare it to the 2021 U.S. box office as far as like what were the number one films, what were the top grossing, what's the top 10 from each of those years, 40 years apart. And we're going to do that going forward. Like sometimes we'll do 30 years, we'll do like 1986 to 2016 or whatever kind of thing. And in that, I had said that I hadn't seen Raiders yet, but I understand why it was number one in 81 and whatever else. And the cool thing to me about Raiders is that it was just so interesting seeing a movie that doesn't have. Oh, the reason why I'm losing my mind here. The reason why I'm bringing the other episode up is because in that we were also comparing the box office from 81 to 2021 because the companies, the film, the distribution companies, 81, it's like Paramount and Warner Brothers and Sony and Disney and this. And nowadays, Disney and Warner Brothers and whatever own pretty much everything, kind of like, you know, all that stuff. So the reason why I say that is because when I watch this, I'm like, oh, it says in the very beginning, a Paramount picture, a Gulf and Western company. I'm like, Gulf and Western? What the? Was Gulf and Western? So I have that up here and I'm like, oh, okay. Interesting. They were a conglomerate back in that was founded in 1934. So, yeah, that was really interesting. It's just a little thing at the beginning of the movie that I noticed about that. But yeah, no, Raiders. When's the last time you saw this before now? How often do you watch Raiders?
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this. I might have seen Raiders more than I've seen Star Wars. And it's probably been a few years since I saw it, but I saw it, as I think I mentioned, they do this thing where they pull out the soundtrack and then they show it in a concert hall and they have mm-hmm. a live, they have the concert playing. So I think that's the last time I saw Raiders. Mm-hmm. Was the soundtrack was played live in concert. We had terrible seats. And then, of course, last year I was at Disney World, so I saw the Stunt Spectacular, which kind of retells the story, you know, has the airplane in it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in a way, it's a movie I revisit more than Star Wars, I think, because Star Wars is a big deal to me because it was my childhood. Mm-hmm. Raiders, I love the film. I saw it probably about 4 or 5 years ago in IMAX. Or no, it's been more than 5 years. It's been like 7 or 8 years. But they re-released it in IMAX, and we went down to St. Louis to see it in like in a real IMAX theater. And I remember that time I had seen it so many times that it was almost like being in the Matrix, or like I was watching I wasn't watching the story because I'd seen the story so many times, you know, which is what happened when we were rewatching the original Star Wars films. I'd seen it so many times. But this time I was watching the directing. Like the whole scene at the airfield with the flying wing.
Yes.
I was watching Spielberg set up the dominoes piece by piece. Yep. And it was like so much fun to just watch, to kind of see behind the lens and see him directing and putting the pieces together. And it's Lucas doing what Lucas does best, which is come up with the idea and put people together. Mm-hmm. And it's Spielberg doing what Spielberg does best, which is directing.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, it really is a modern classic. It's a great film.
Yeah, absolutely. Has great action throughout. The plot is interesting. I did not go into. I went into this with an open mind because, like,
you got dragged into it. I guilted you into this.
Well, yes, you guilted me into it, but I still went into it with an open mind. It wasn't like. I'm trying to think of a movie that I will never – that I've seen that I will probably never watch again. Whatever. Insert movie. It isn't like I saw this movie 40 years ago or whatever, and I never want to see it again. Okay, perfect example. I've only seen bits and pieces of Temple of Doom, but I know I never want to watch Temple of Doom. I have no interest in that movie whatsoever. You'd have to pay me $1 million in order to get me to watch Temple of Doom.
Really?
Yes, really.
Huh.
Wow, you got $1 million?
I do not have $1 million, and I wouldn't spend it on making you watch that. I wouldn't spend it, like, let me put it this way. When we get to Lost World, obviously, like, I've said that I like that film, but I didn't know how you were going to bounce. Like, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't necessarily recommending
you. And you still don't know how I'm going to bounce.
And I want to find out when we get there. I don't want to. Yeah. I almost wish you had tagged me in that one thing about Raiders because you said you liked it in it. And I was like, I wanted to find out now whether or not you liked it.
Yeah.
But I understand that, like, I think my opinion and your friend's opinion about Lost World is a very minority opinion about the film. And it's kind of like, I think. With the way the Indiana Jones movies go, Raiders is considered like the standard. Everybody likes Raiders. Mm-hmm. And then you either bounce towards Temple of Doom or you bounce towards Last Crusade. Mm-hmm. And I probably am more of a Last Crusade guy. I kind of like the more fun, lighthearted stuff. But I still kind of like Temple of Doom, even though it's dark. I mean, it's the movie they made when everybody was getting divorced.
Yep.
So it's dark and scary and nasty.
It's the lesser known empire of.
I don't think it's lesser known.
I'm saying, like, if you compare Empire Strikes Back and Temple of Doom, most people are going to go to Empire before they go to Temple of Doom. I think.
But yeah, because it's darker, but it's not dark. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I get it, and there's certain movies that, like, I may not like have I may not want to see, but, like, you know, you're interested in it, and I don't know. Like, it's fair. I guess not everybody's cup of tea, but, like, my thing is, like, I watch a lot. I used to. I don't watch as many movies as I used to, but I used to watch movies that I didn't necessarily like that weren't in my wheelhouse. You know what I mean? Like I don't like horror movies. I like slasher movies, you know. But I grew up in the 80s. So it was kind of expected that I watch Friday the 13th movies and Halloween movies and Nightmare on Elm Street movies and, you know, like I love monster movies. I love creature features. Because they're, to me, they're more fun. But like, you know, when you're with somebody, you watch a lot of movies you don't necessarily want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, honey, let's go see Secret Life of Pets. Why? why are we going to go see Secret Life of Pets? I really had no plan to go see the 2016 Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. But somebody else wanted to. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not going to push you to go to do Temple of Doom because you. When did you see that? Age wise.
Oh God, when did it? Hold on, let me look
here. 1984.
Okay, so I was 4 at the time. I probably saw the bits and pieces of it. 86, 87, maybe.
Oh my God! So you were like
a, I was a, six or seven. Six,
yeah,
or, seven.
Six or seven. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I was six and or seven, depending on which year it was. I was 6 in 86, 7 in 87, and like you, my mom showed me all kinds of horror, which is why I'm not a horror fan.
Okay, well, my mom didn't show me the horror films.
So. Okay, but I'm saying
my mom showed me like classic movies, like okay, Maltese fine, Falcon.
but my point is the slasher scary. The Nightmare on Elm Street, the Friday the 13th, the Michael Myers, the whatever. Yeah. My mom used to watch that stuff all the time, and I was right there with her watching it, and that's one of the reasons why I've grown up not to be a horror fan, because I don't like to be scared in movies, and that's a point that I will bring up later when we talk about the dinosaurs.
See, like Jaws came out when I was 4. Mm-hmm. And I think it got re-released at some point when I was a little bit older. And like, there was no way my mom would not take me to see Jaws. She would not. I was 8 when Alien came out, you know, and mm-hmm. obviously it's a science fiction movie. Of course I want to see it. Mm-hmm. No, like I didn't see those until I was a little older on video. In fact, I can't quite remember when the first time I saw Jaws. I might have seen Jaws 2 on TV before I ever saw Jaws. So she was a little, you know, too protective. Mm-hmm.
Jaws was 75, Jaws 2 was 78.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I didn't see either in the theaters.
Right.
In fact, that's one of the – I was injured a couple years ago, and I was really – one of the worst thing about that entire experience, aside from the incredible pain and loneliness, was the fact that they re-released Jaws.
Mm.
I was like, oh, I could have seen it in the theater. But no, that was a big deal. I really wanted to see it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
But – the point being that like when I said I had to see all these other movies, it's because everyone I knew, all my friends were like, you know, ooh, the latest Nightmare on Elm Street, ooh, the latest, you know,
mm-hmm.
and those movies don't scare me. Like they'll do crap that startle you, sure.
Yeah,
it's just more that they're boring. Like especially because like as the 80s went on and nowadays, like the whole point of the early films was the gore. It was right. The effects, and they cut that more and more as the series went on, as all the different series went on.
Mm-hmm.
So that really only the Nightmare films were even remotely worth watching after a while, because at least they were creative and inventive. But it was just, here's a bunch of stupid teenagers that nobody likes, right? They go off, they go to a place they're told not to go, they do things they're told not to do, and then they get slaughtered.
Yep.
And a lot of times all that crap happens off screen, and it's like, or quick cut. It's like why are we watching this? Who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, at least a creature feature, you have the creature. You
know, mm-hmm.
At some point you've got to show the monster, and that's kind of, you know. And it's just generally a little more fun because the monster. It sounds weird, but it has more pure motivation than like to this day I'm always confused by the Friday the 13th things because apparently Jason didn't die as a child, but I thought he did. I thought that was the whole goddamn point. Was it Mrs. Voorhees was murdering people because he drowned as a child? And he popped back up as a zombie, and then, but no, apparently he was. They retconned that in part two, and I just thought he was a zombie, man. I don't know because I wasn't really taking notes when I watched that on the USA Network back in 1985, whenever the hell I saw it.
Yeah,
I don't know. People like what they like. I don't know. Can we get back to Raiders?
Yeah, sure.
We get back to an actually good film.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was – and one of the things that surprised me with doing that box office episode we did, this had a budget of $20 million. No, I'm sorry. No, sorry, I read it wrong. $20 million, and the box office is $389.9 million. So the funny thing is, this is for you, not the audience, because by now everyone will have heard episode 81 of the podcast. The top three grossing movies in 1981 were all six-digit figure movies. The other seven films were under six figures, whereas in 2021, all 10 of them, or maybe 9 out of the 10 of them, were all six-digit box office money makers.
Well, crazy. You know, there's a little thing called inflation, my friend.
True.
Yeah, like 1981 bucks are not the same thing as 2021 bucks.
No,
definitely true. Not the same thing as the 2024 bucks.
No, not really. No. Where do we want to go with this? What do we want to get into first? What
I mean, because it's your first time for both of them, so why don't you give your impressions?
Okay, so let's see here. So I'm going to start with, as far as the history, because I have no history with it other than this morning. What level of a fan were you heading into the prep work for this? I loved Last Crusade. I love the character of Indiana Jones. I love the characters that he surrounds himself with, like Sala and other people. And I wish that we had gotten more Indiana Jones films back then, not necessarily 2008 and 2023, because that's way too long of a time difference and just no. But I like the character. I think the character is fun. I think it's interesting. I think it's really cool. With Raiders, I was... like, there really isn't those jumps, and it's not a scary movie, it's not supposed to be, but there, you know, the some of the effects in it, some of the, not necessarily the blood, but like the facial effects, like when everybody gets their faces melted off. Not necessarily that, but like when we see the people who have done before in the beginning, where they're trying to get the gold. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, and once again, my bias, I get it because I saw the other one first. When the other dude, I forget what the dude's name is in the beginning, he's like, oh, we should just walk over there. And Indy's like, no, just stay back.
And then he's like, there's nothing to fear here.
Mm-hmm,
that scares me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Played by Alfred Molina, Doc Ock.
Yeah, and he was young when he did that.
Yeah.
Really young. Like, I barely recognized him.
I think I saw it. I mean, it's been a couple of years since I saw it on the internet, but I was like, wait, that's Alfred Molina?
Yeah. So in all these traps and all the time that Indy is doing the stepping stones, the only thing that's running in my head, Jehovah begins with an I, you moron. It's the only thing that was in my head when I was watching him step over the stones in this film, because I'm like, wait a minute, he does this again later.
Well, it's different because there's a different pattern and there's
right.
different again. Yeah. It's a series. There's
yes,
there's always the traps. There's always the stuff he's got. So,
but I like the traps. I think that was cool. I think two of the images I screen capped on Facebook were my two favorite images. Is one of him at the beginning when he first reaches the idol, and then one of him at the end right as the lightning strikes as he's standing on the thing at night when they're about to find the ark. I like the pace. The funny thing is, I felt like this movie went too fast. Like, it didn't go too fast like, oh my God, blink and you miss it. It went too fast like, holy crap, this is 1981. I thought movies were slower back then. Like, it just felt like we went from scene to scene to scene to scene to scene. And the time on this, let me make sure I have this right, 115 minutes. So just under 2 hours? Yeah.
Yeah.
2 hours. It didn't feel, this movie to me felt like it was 35 minutes.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, again, like a testament to the film. It's supposed to be like a rush, an adrenaline ride.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, after a while, I stopped taking notes because I'm just like, I'm just loving the event, the adventure. I know this is a incorrect opinion, but the whole truck blowing up thing, I'm like, oh, good. The damsel in distress is gone. Now we can just move on with the adventure. Then I was like, damn, she ain't dead.
Yeah, but Marion is generally considered the best of the
Jones
girls, because Willie Scott is awful.
Yeah.
And Elsa is a Nazi. So.
Yeah, Elsa is a Nazi. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Poor Indy. He doesn't get the Bond girls like Bond does. Is what it is. And going back and watching movies like this, like normally today you would have, if you had this movie today, there would be like a 5-minute setup at the beginning of what to expect or how to set up him going on the adventure. No, we start with him on an adventure already. I love that.
Like a James Bond film.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very much so. I think that is super, super cool. And, you know, this is crazy because I'm not a snakes, bugs, rats, whatever person. I think I was more jump scared of the damn dinosaurs than I was of the snakes. Like, yeah, the snakes, whatever.
Well, they weren't. I don't think the snakes were ever presented as a jump scare in the film, though.
No, like, they weren't. But like, for me, like I see a snake, I'm walking the other way. I see,
oh, yeah,
like all that's you're right, absolutely. They're not. But normally, like there are some people like Indy where he says it, and then why did it have to be snakes? Like, you know, like he didn't want to go through this, and
oh yeah.
Like in which we are going to get to it because I forgot that this year is the 35th anniversary of Last Crusade. So we're doing it, folks. We're going to do it in a couple of weeks or a couple of months.
Oh, now almost you got to do Temple of Doom.
No, not really.
How can you skip that?
We're skipping 2, 4, and 5. 1 and 3 are the only ones that matter.
Well, to be fair, I'm not going to do 5, so.
Oh, hell no. I'm not doing 4 and 5 either. No. Like I said, somebody got $1 million? Sure, I'll record a podcast on it. But other than that, nope. I love the adventure. I love even the villains. The villains in this were really – they weren't like super cool, but they were
– they were memorable.
Yeah, they were memorable, and there was enough there between – oh, what's his – what's the
– Belloc?
Yeah, Belloc. Yeah. There's enough there between him and Indy where it's like, ooh, damn – because they're rival archaeologists, really. Yeah.
Well, it's the old flip side of the, you know, of the we're not so different, you and I, kind of shit.
Yeah. And he even says that in the movie.
Yes, he does. I can't remember the exact line, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But yeah, no. I thoroughly enjoyed this. It was an adventure to be had, and I was surprised to see him go, like, I know Indiana Jones can't always be on adventures. He's got to have some sort of quote-unquote home life. I was actually surprised to see him go back and be the professor and everything else.
He doesn't actually – you don't have to see him teach in Last Crusade, but he does go back to Barnard College.
Right, yeah. But I wasn't sure, because again, I had never seen this. I wasn't sure if he was going to be doing that in this, and he does. And I think that's the, again, for one character, for Indiana Jones, he has the adventurer side, and then he has the professor side, the archaeologist, where he just wants to teach people, you know, about all this stuff. And I really enjoyed those scenes. I don't think there's a scene in here that I didn't enjoy. I mean, you know, I'm not going to – sometimes I would take a half point off if there were – if there was a giant – and I know they weren't cobras. There were some other kind of snake in this. But if there was a giant –
In the pit?
Yeah.
Those were cobras.
Well, they
weren't all cobras, but they were cobras.
Yeah, they weren't all cobras. But Sala said something about
– asps. Very dangerous.
Yeah, that's – But if there was a, like, there, when I say giant cobra, I mean, like, giant in your face, like, takes up my whole 32-inch monitor screen as I'm watching this on Disney Plus.
Now, did they clean it up for Disney Plus? Because famously, Indy falls, he lands flat on his face, and the cobra rises up in front of him.
Yep.
And famously, you can see the reflection of the cobra on the glass that divides them.
Oh, I did not notice that.
They might have cleaned that up. But yeah, famously, you can kind of see the reflection.
I did not notice that. I love the flying wing scene. I thought that was really cool.
Yes, that's when I was like so into watching the dominoes be set up, because it is. It's like, you know, first the little chocks get pulled out from under the wheels, and then the propeller gets turned on, and then the other guys show up, and then you know it's bit by bit, and then this thing the fuel cap gets busted, so it's spilling. It's just like piece by piece, and you're waiting for it all to start come together and pay off.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely love that. And what I love about that scene is that it doesn't remind me of every other scene like it, but I had visions of other movies and other scenes that had happened in before. So I love that. Oh, you know what it reminds me of? Perfect. We already mentioned it. James Bond. In Tomorrow Never Dies. Or no, is it in Tomorrow Never Dies or GoldenEye? Which one is it in? When he's, I think it's, he's trying to escape. Yeah, it's in Tomorrow, it's the beginning of Tomorrow Never Dies, where he takes and fires on everybody and everything else. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely love that scene. And I love how they go from the small guy to the big guy fighting him.
Yes, the mechanic. Yes. Who is, I can't remember if he's the stunt coordinator or not. I know the stunt, I don't think he is, because I think that's the guy who plays Vogel in Last Crusade. But yeah, and the payoff of that is famous, is great. Where he's just like lying on the ground and the propeller's coming closer and closer.
Yeah. So Frank Marshall appears as the flying wing pilot. Pat Roach and Vic Tablian each portray two characters in the film. Roach appears as the Nazi who brawls with Jones by the flying wing and one of Toad's Nepalese Sherpas. So Pat Roach, oh yeah.
Shoot them both.
Yes. yep. Ooh, rest in peace, Pat. He died in 2004. He was 87.
This movie is 40 years old. I mean.
I know. Well,
Miracle Ford's still around.
Yeah, that's, well, you know, I'm surprised Lucas is still around, actually. But yeah, no.
Well, you know, he's got $4 billion. So he just buys a new body every couple of years, you know.
Just transfer his brain into a new body.
You know, those Canonians, they're pretty good cloners.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If only I could get a new brain for my current body, that would be nice.
If only I could get a new body for my current brain, that'd be nice.
That's what I'm saying.
You're doing the opposite. I'm like, I just dump this heap of garbage and get me something that doesn't break down every 5 minutes.
Yep.
How dare you? How dare you give me consequences for my poor lifestyle choices, stupid body?
Oh boy. So, what else do we want to? What would you like to say about the film?
I mean, it's kind of ground. I think it's a great film. I think it's a classic. I think it's an interesting. To see how hard it goes, because famously Spielberg is the reason we got the PG-13 rating. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me what kids in the 80s watch versus what kids today watch, you know?
Right.
Like, everything is very, very sanitized these days, where, you know, famously in the Plinkett review of Crystal Skull, he compares the Indiana Jones movies and their quality based on how many people Indiana Jones directly murders. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like those fights are brutal. You feel every punch. The Ravagod is not a thing to play around with. But I think that it added grit to it. Like, I think it's one of the reasons that I like that film better than, like, particularly like the loosey-goosey CGI stuff that we have now. You really felt the grit. There's a back in the day on PBS during sweeps or not sweeps, whatever it was called, when they flood drive. They had a making of Raiders of the Lost Ark that they would always show. And, you know, if you pledged like $3 million, they would give you a copy, I guess. But, you know, they talked about, like, how he did the thing where he crawled under the truck and how they did, you know, like there was actually a trench there, and it was based on an old stunt from a Western, I think maybe even Stagecoach, where the guy climbed under a stagecoach and came up the back. There's just like a, you know, I love those Lucasfilm punches where the guy in the FX studio is like punching a slab of beef, and you know, it's just got like heft to it, boom. And of course, you know, I guess we are obligated to talk about the famous scene, the Cairo Swordsman.
Yes.
Where everybody was sick as a dog. John Rhys Davies was just on a Michael Rosenbaum's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about this. Like, everybody was sick. Like people almost came close to dying. Mm. They were that sick. And, you know, in the script, there was this huge whip versus sword fight. And Ford just said to Spielberg, "Can I just shoot the son of a bitch?" And they did it, and it was, you know, it's a highlight of the film.
Yeah, because you're not expecting him to shoot him.
No.
And you're expecting him.
Ironically, the irony is there is a payoff to that in Temple of Doom, which I will spoil for you because you're not going to watch it, is towards the end when they get to the bridge, two thuggy guys come up when they got their swords. They I think they play similar music, and they're spinning the swords around, and then he just gives them this look, and he reaches down to his holster, and it's empty.
So he has to use the whip.
So he has. Well, I don't think he's. Yeah, I think he's got the whip. It's been a while since I've seen Temple of Doom, but yeah, he's got to actually fight them this time.
Mm. Yeah. But yeah, man, just I would definitely watch this again if I had a real hankering for an adventure film, because this was one hella. As someone who had never seen it before, is this being my first time and not knowing other than all the tropes and all the whatevers about it, like, this was really fun.
You know, I try to only recommend the really good stuff.
Right.
I had the giant sized Marvel comic book. I've got the novelization. One thing we haven't mentioned is the soundtrack.
No, yeah,
the another soundtrack. Epic John Williams soundtrack.
Yes, it is.
Like, and all the actual Indiana Jones movies, the real ones, have fantastic soundtracks.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, the music. And again, it's John Williams. You know, I mean.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's John Williams. Okay. I don't want to be that guy, but like, I don't think that his later Star Wars soundtracks are as good. I think there's some good themes in them.
When you say later, you mean the sequel trilogy?
Disney.
Yeah, the sequel. Yeah. Disney. No, absolutely. Yeah. And again, we will get to that down the line.
I know we'll get to that, but like this is John Williams in his prime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When he was hitting on all cylinders and everything was just the Raiders theme is iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Temple of Doom has some great pieces. It's got like the Temple of Doom theme is amazing. The love theme, even though Willie is awful, is really good. Last Crusade has some really good stuff. It's got that kind of it's got a combination of like a Western kind of thing and also like the Christian a night crusade. It's got like the crusade, the medieval kind of crusade music.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see here. So getting into our kind of before we take a quick break and go to the next film, did the film keep your interest throughout? For me, it did. I didn't even have to take a bathroom break for this thing because it went like that literally I'm sitting and I'm like, I put my phone on do not disturb. I put my phone down. It was away. I'm sitting here watching this, taking notes. And I felt like that boulder was going through this whole film without destroying anything as I watched it because dang. Yeah. Very much was all in on this one.
You know, to once again bring up Temple of Doom, it's funny because there is a scene in Temple of Doom that I never saw until it came out on video because it was always the moment that I went to go pee. It's also the movie that taught me to like pace myself with like drinking soda. Because I have, you get to the, and it's the scene where Willie and Indy are flirting and it's like, I mean, it was 84. I was 13. I was like, whatever. So I would always go to pee, and I never saw it until it was on home video. And again, that's why I pace myself when I drink my soda, so I don't have to go pee 5 times during a movie. Yeah, I mean, the movies always held my, like I said, even when I'd seen it a million times, I saw new things. Like I saw the paying attention to the directing, to the putting it together was a, you know, it's always held my interest. It's I've always enjoyed it. I like it. It's a good movie. It's fun. Mm-hmm. My only thing is I hate that hipsters have ruined the fedora for us. Cause I love the hat.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the whole, I actually have an article from an old Starlog, which I've got somewhere in a, clipped in a folder somewhere, which is how you can put together that outfit, like all the actual, what kind of hat that was, what kind of jacket that was. It was his satchel was a Belgian military bag from World War One or something, right. Which in Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, he's actually involved in World War One. I think from Belgium. You know, what kind of boots, but like all the different pieces. So you could put together, if you wanted to put together an authentic, not just, you know, with Lucasfilm label in it, Indiana Jones costume, mm-hmm. like what the pieces were.
Yep.
And of course I have the poster, which is signed by the cast.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. So let's see here. No, I'm not itching to watch the next film. I'm itching to watch the better film, which is the third one. So there's that. I would definitely recommend this to people if they want a good adventure.
Even I bullied you into watching this.
Yes, you did. That's fine. That's established. Like, that's why we're here.
Like, I just like threatened someone to watch it.
Yes. Uh huh. Yep. Yep,
although now I have to call you a semi-cultured swine.
Sadly. There you go. Well, you know, you gotta always keep up on those semicolons, everybody. What's the other thing here? What to recommend? Yes, 0 to 5 with half points. Yeah, I did watching this morning before we recorded because I have to watch things right before I do a podcast, folks, or else I'll forget. I have no complaints over anything, even, you know, the minorest thing, which I didn't even really notice that well. You know, whatever. It's going to be a 5 out of 5 for me.
I mean, it's literally these titans of, you know, the 80s, all at the height of their powers, all coming together. Spielberg, Lucas, Harrison Ford, John Williams. It's 5 out of 5.
Absolutely.
And of course we didn't mention again, it's very common trivia, but I don't know if you know it, but it's very common trivia that Tom Selleck was going to be Indiana Jones. But he could not get out of his contract for Magnum PI.
Oh, so it was a Bond kind of, it was a Pierce Brosnan kind of Remington Steele kind of thing. Okay,
gotcha. Yeah, it was a Remington Steele kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably
Very different movie.
Yeah, it would have been a very different movie. It's probably good that Tom Selleck never got to play Indiana Jones.
Well, yeah, obviously. In hindsight, clearly.
Yes.
If he had gotten to it, we, you know, would have been like, well, if Han Solo had played Indiana Jones, that's kind of weird, because Han's kind of a scumbag, and Indy's kind of an intellectual guy, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously it was the right choice in hindsight.
Yep.
And Selleck did eventually do... Oh, I don't remember the name of the movie, but he did a very thinly veiled Indiana Jones type ripoff. Mm-hmm. He was a pilot or something.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about, but we will figure that out later. All right, folks, we're going to a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff, and you'll probably hear the trailer to The Lost World Jurassic Park, and we'll be right back right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
British family on a yacht cruise stumbled upon Site B. Now it's only a matter of time before this lost world is found and pillaged.
Hopefully we've kept this island quarantined and contained, but I'm in shock about all this. Ah, that's how it always starts. But then later there's running and then screaming.
What the hell was that?
Go. As fast as you can.
I need you to send rescue immediately.
Taking dinosaurs off this island is the worst idea in the history of bad ideas.
Let's get this movable feast underway. Don't move!
What is it?
Mommy's very angry.
Folks, we are back here in episode 84 of Studio 2009, and it's time for The Lost World, Jurassic Park, the only sequel that matters, or maybe not. I don't know. What do you think, Dave?
There are a lot of people who really, like, it's weird. Like, I'm going to, like, expose behind the curtains a little bit here. We're re-recording this. So I'm a little less on the ball about this than I was at the time. I feel like this one was not really as embraced as the original film. Mm-hmm. It's not an Aliens kind of thing. It's there are some people that Jurassic Park is just like Jurassic Park and then walk away and leave it alone.
Right.
I like this one because there's a lot more kind of action adventure stuff and more people right. getting by dinosaurs, which is always for me, that's kind of the point of seeing the movie is
right.
I like dinosaurs and I like watching them murder people. I don't think any of the sequels are particularly beloved.
Okay.
You know, the third one doesn't have
Ian.
It doesn't have Ian, but it also doesn't have Spielberg, and it doesn't have I don't think it has John Williams as the music. I mean, they use Williams' music, but it's not a Spielberg, John Williams kind of, you know. One of the things we talked about last time, and we'll probably hit again, is that the soundtrack is fantastic.
Yeah.
The commenter who kind of inspired this episode, he kind of rated it above the original Jurassic Park soundtrack, and I disagree on some level, but I feel that it is, like, really good on its own, like, equal to – they're different soundtracks. They're different movies. It is a Aliens kind of thing where, like, this one is more – nastier, grittier. Spielberg was working with a new cinematographer at this point. I think he's been with him for like the rest of his career, Janusz Kosminski.
Right.
We started working with on Schindler's List, and you can just it's darker.
Yeah.
I like that. So I love this film. I think there are flaws. We always go back to the gymnastic scene, which is really stupid, even though it's set up.
Right.
Still incredibly stupid. Just because you set up something properly doesn't mean it's not stupid when you pay it off. And that's pretty stupid. But just it's grittier, it's nastier. I enjoy it a lot. Yeah. Oh, and I said as one of the things is like this came out the same year as Speed 2. And I remember it came out before Speed 2. And I remember there's the scene where the Venture, the boat, slams into the dock in San Diego very dramatically. And I remember writing to a friend of mine after I saw it, man, Speed 2 is doomed. They got all the boat action out of the way like early this year.
Yep. Yeah, I don't ever. I mean, this is not the Speed 2 podcast, but I don't ever remember. Like, I think I've seen the trailers to that thing, but I've never. No, there's not enough money on this planet for me to watch Speed 2 again for a podcast.
I didn't even watch it when it first came out, like, because it didn't have Keanu.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, that's really, really bad. Actually, I like this one too. I found this. Obviously, you have to watch the original, and the original is what the original is, and I appreciate that. But I like what is happening to these characters after what had already happened to them. Kind of, I love sequels. You give me a good sequel, you give me a good story, you continue or you hint at what happened before if I haven't. Because look, I was 87. I was 7 years old when Beverly Hills Cop 2 came out. I saw Beverly Hills Cop 2 in 1990 when I was 10. I didn't see the first movie until the third one came out in theaters in 94 when I was 14. So I'm all about sometimes going out of order as much as I like things in order. And this movie, I like a lot better than Jurassic Park, and I'm sorry if anyone is screaming at the top of their lungs listening to me say that, but I enjoyed this more.
I'm not screaming. I kind of disagree, but like on the other hand, like I love the movie Aliens, and yeah. I respect the original Alien, but I like the sequel more. I think because like Jurassic Park and Lost World are different movies. They're yeah. different kinds of movies.
Yeah.
When you said you love sequels, I like sequels that are not the – most sequels are the first film done over again. And those yeah. I don't like.
Yeah.
I like sequels that do take the story and expand on it or do yeah. something else with it. You know, take the premise and go somewhere else or do – you know, like the you know, Die Hard in an Airport, Die Hard blah, blah, blah. Like that's kind of eh. But I do like it when you evolve the characters and put them in a new situation or add something new. And I think this is different enough, particularly in tone.
Oh yeah.
Like I said, this is a nastier, meaner movie. Yeah. Jurassic Park was all about like the wonder and the magic. And yeah, there was scares. It was literally a theme park ride. You yeah. know? I mean, even story-wise, there's not much to it. It's like go to set piece, go to set piece, go to set piece.
Yeah.
Where Lost World is, you know, like a horror movie. It's you're in this terrible environment. Terrible things are trying to kill you. There is a little bit of the magic and wonder with the stegosaurs. But I mean, even that comes after the little girl got attacked by the compies.
Yeah.
So it's got more fangs to it.
Yeah, I went into this thinking it was a full-on horror movie because of that very first scene when the little girl walks away from the parents and she goes up to the thing, the compies. Whatever the yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe it's not going to eat her. Maybe it's not going to chase her. Maybe it's not going to slice her in half or whatever. And I'm like, whoops, shouldn't have assumed that. Because those things, yeah.
Well, she survived.
She did.
Is the actor named Peter Strohmeyer?
Is he in this?
I might be getting him wrong.
No, like maybe no.
You know who I'm talking about.
No, he is.
There's a guy who does get murdered by the compies.
Yeah, the second in command of the InGen group under the control of Dieter Stark. Yes, Peter Stormare.
Peter Stark is the character's name. Yeah, but
yeah, Peter Stormare. Good old Ivan. Love that guy. American components, Russian components, all made in Taiwan.
Okay.
It's from Armageddon. It's the one thing I know him from the most. It's the one line I have stuck in my head. But no, I enjoyed the plot. I liked all of the characters, at least the good characters.
Really? Because like I think one of the best characters is Pete Postlewaite. I can't remember the name now. Roland Trembo.
Yep.
The hunt leader, the guy whose whole thing is I want to kill a Tyrannosaurus Rex to feel alive.
Yep.
And he's got, but even though he's on the bad guy's side, you know, like he doesn't, you know, when he helps rescue them when they're hanging off the cliff.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't like tie them up or murder them or, you know.
Right.
I mean, there's hostility and antagonism, but he's not like a bad guy. He's on the side that's clearly, you know, this is something we brought up the other time too, is that the real villain in the film is Vince Vaughn. Like, he's yes. the guy that gets everybody killed, gets them stranded there. He's on the technically the good guy side, but he's like this murky eco-terrorist with no real... They don't really flash out his backstory. They don't really do much with him. Except
there wasn't enough time to
flash out. They crammed a lot in that this one.
I mean... Technically, Ludlow is the main villain of
the humans. Ludlow is well, technically, and I mean, his thing is just basically like, you know, and it's funny because like they make this big deal. Oh, he's going to bring dinosaurs to the mainland and he's going to like, it's so evil and he's going to destroy the world. And then like the last one, the last movie, Dominion, it's like, well, we're just going to live in peace with our dinosaur neighbors now and be friends and it'll all be okay. Like, it's funny how, like, three or four of these movies made such a huge deal about we can't bring these things to the mainland. It'll destroy everything. And then Dominion's just like, we're just all going to be friends now. And there's a shot of the Mosasaur swimming by a bunch of whales and not murdering them. It's like, oh, okay.
Yep. Absolutely. Like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed this. It kept my attention throughout. I think I like it. I mean, I like the stuff that on the island with the dinosaurs, but I think when the T-Rex starts rampaging through San Francisco, that's what I like.
San Diego. You got it wrong the last time.
San Diego. Yeah. I got it wrong.
A whale's vagina. San Diego.
Yeah. San Diego. Yes.
Which Spielberg, part of the reason the movie is so crammed is he crammed that in there on purpose because he kind of knew he wasn't going to do a third one or didn't want to do a third one, but he really wanted to do Godzilla dinosaurs rampaging on the mainland bit. So that kind of got crammed in there at the end.
Yeah.
Which, of course, features the now somewhat problematic bit of a couple of Japanese tourists who see, and they say in Japanese something like, I thought we left Japan to get away from this. Translated the line as something like that.
Yeah.
And then the screenwriter, David Koepp, who's now working on the next one again, he's the guy who's running into the video store and gets caught.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's got a career. I mean, this David Koepp.
If he's writing crap for Spielberg, I would assume so.
Let's see here. Toy Soldiers from 91, Jurassic Park, Carlito's Way, The Paper, The Shadow, the first Mission
Impossible. The Shadow is in, like, I haven't seen it in a long time, so I want to couch that. But I remember loving that movie when I saw it. It was so ridiculous. So much fun.
I always get that, and I know I shouldn't get these too confused. I always get that and the, what's it called?
Phantom?
Yes, thank you. The Phantom.
Yeah, every time I try to watch that, I get interrupted, so I've never been able to watch The Phantom the whole way through.
Continuing down, his Snake Eyes, Stir of Echoes, Panic Room, Spider-Man.
Wait, Snake Eyes is in the G.I. Joe Snake Eyes?
No, 1998, Nicolas Cage. Snake Eyes.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I was gonna say, oh my god, that guy's garbage.
No, he wrote that nonsense. No. Well, what nonsense he did write was Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Look, we didn't know how good we had it back then.
Uh huh.
It was one of those like the people who came out of that theater going, "It could be worse," were proven right many years later.
Yeah, in 2023 with the Dial of Destiny. Yeah, last year. Premium Rush. Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of great credits as a writer. He's done a lot of cool stuff. He's one of those names that every time I know what that guy's done. Very cool. What else about the plot or the film in general?
I think it has several good action sequences, but I mean, it has a particularly... Personally, one of my favorite action sequences is the one with the trailer and the T-Rexes. Mm-hmm. It's some of the best music in the film. The trailer gets pushed off the cliff.
Yep.
And we did this last time. I can't remember the actor's name. I keep calling him Toby Ziegler. He plays Eddie Carr in the film.
Oh, that would be Eddie. Where are you?
I always know him from the West Wing as Toby Ziegler.
Richard Schiff,
and he's trying to save them, and there's this fantastic shot of the two T-Rexes coming out of the rain.
Yes.
And, you know, I remember going back to the original Jurassic Park, I remember there was a moment when the kids are in the kitchen and the second raptor comes in, and my brain went, there's no way these kids can live through this. Like, they're going to die.
Yeah.
And then the T-Rexes come out in the second film, and I'm like, there's no way he can live. He's going to get murdered. And he did.
Yeah.
And he died hard.
Yeah.
And the whole way through, he never abandons his friends. Like, he goes down trying to save his friends. And it's such a fantastic sequence.
Yeah. And, yeah, absolutely. And this cast, I mean, this cast is stacked. Like, I think this is probably most likely the earliest Vince Vaughn movie I've seen. I want to double check that by looking at his filmography, but I mean, well, no, technically it's not. Rudy was the first one I had seen. But I mean,
but who even knew he was in Rudy? Come on.
Well,
Rudy's like from the '80s, isn't it?
Yeah, 93 was Rudy. 93. Mm-hmm. Yep. He was also in Cool Dry Place, Clay Pigeons, Psycho. Those are all 98 films.
I remember Psycho, but he was in one with, like, I can't remember what it was called. He was a gambler. Like, wasn't that like his big breakthrough film? Mm. He was like some kind of card sharp or
For the rounder. Boys or At Risk.
No. I'll look it up while you.
Okay. He's got.
Oh, eBay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yay. Starsky and Hutch, he's in that. A movie that we will be... I don't know if you and I will be covering it, but a movie
I don't think you and I will be covering it.
You don't even know what I'm going to say yet. A movie that is celebrating its 30th anniversary, or not, its 20th anniversary this year, Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story. He was Peter LaFleur in that.
Yeah, he was. Okay, that has my favorite line in all of movie history.
Okay, well...
Can you guess?
No, just tell me.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. A wrench at a guy. Every time I throw something at somebody, I go, if you can dodge this, you can dodge a ball.
Yep, absolutely. He was in one of the worst Christmas movies, Four Christmases, in 2008. The Internship, Anchorman 1 and 2. What else? I swear there was something else that I knew him from besides Dodgeball. Was it? No, I don't think. Oh, he was in. Oh, right. He plays Eddie in Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Duh. Brangelina film. The Spies and all that.
Yeah. I remember her outfit from the trailer.
Everybody remembers her outfit from the trailer.
IMDb is just like.
That's
not
why
playing,
I don't.
Not playing nice with me.
I do not trust IMDb. I only trust Wikipedia, and I barely trust them. But yeah, no, So when I watched, and I think I said this back in episode 68 when we did Jurassic Park, when I watched that, I had to get up, pause, do other things a few times. This movie, I was glued. I did not move the entire time. I had all the snacks around me and everything else and whatever. And yeah, Lost World, absolutely dug it.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm glad because I kind of pushed for this. Well, more I pushed for the original Jurassic Park, and because I really like I've said, I feel like I love this movie, but I also understand that it's definitely flawed. So like, I wouldn't really like super hard push anyone to like watch it if they didn't want to.
Right. And I mean, we could be. I think we were here all day talking about Jeff Goldblum's roles in the Jurassic Park episode. But so I won't go into all of that again.
Well, don't you like? But it is interesting. He seems, and maybe it's logical because like he's been through an experience. But he does seem like a different character.
Yeah.
Like he's the heroic guy in this one, as opposed to Swingers was the movie I was thinking about.
Oh, Swingers. Okay.
But like he's less of the comedy antagonist.
Yeah.
You know, he's also less of like, you know, like he was this cocky, I mean, Hammond has the line, you brought a rock star. Like, mm-hmm. there's none of that in his performance this time around.
No.
He's almost a completely different character.
Which I like. I liked his performance in the first movie, but because we all know the memes and everything else that came out of that and all that. But I like where they took his character in this movie, you know, like we don't have Sam Neill and what's her name?
Laura Dern.
We don't have them here. He is the star. Ian is the star of this film, and whatever happened to their characters, whatever.
She got married, and he became kind of a joke. I mean, they're in the third film. Like, it explains.
Okay.
Like, first of all, it's BS because she married some other guy.
Okay.
He's connected to the government, which becomes critical at the end of the film. But he's kind of going around giving. There's a scene in the third film at the very beginning where he's giving a lecture. And he's like, any questions? And people raise their hands. He's like, no, keeping in mind, I've said repeatedly that I was not involved in the incident in San Diego. Everybody lowers their hands.
I love Goldblum in the role. I think it's awesome. And again, this film, man, just so good. Really enjoyed it.
I mentioned it and it is interesting to me when I always have a Mandela effect with this movie because there's a cut scene that I've seen so many times on YouTube that in my brain it's in the movie, you know what I mean?
And it's not.
And it's not because it's a cut scene.
Right.
Pete Postlewaite's character, and it's similar to the Nedry scene in the first film where he's hanging out at like some restaurant, open air restaurant.
Yep.
And it's when Ajay, his buddy, recruits him for the mission. And he's kind of reluctant to do it. And he doesn't want to do it. And there's this whole thing where like at this other table, there's these crude jerks and they're harassing the waitress. And he kind of gets up and like decks the guy and like, you know, flattens him, which establishes that he's a tough guy, but he's also got this code of honor. Which like, you know, it's weird because I always bring that into the movie, which isn't really fair because it's not in the movie, but, you know.
Yeah.
So I go into this predisposed to liking him. And he's also got one of my favorite lines from the movie where, like, they're trying to, like, at the initial rodeo, the initial roundup, he's trying to identify what dinosaurs to catch. He's like, the one with the pompadour, Elvis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That is so awesome. So normal questions here. Are we itching to watch the next film now? I'm good.
honestly,
I'm okay.
Yeah, if you're good, like the third one's okay. I think I think it suffers from the fact that the first one's a classic.
Yeah,
I like the second one. The third one doesn't really have a lot to it story wise.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I always have a problem, and I've had pushback on this from someone, is that they cast Michael Jeter as a hard-ass mercenary. Now, if you don't know who Michael Jeter is, he was on a show called Evening Shade. He played the assistant football coach to Burt Reynolds, and the joke was he's very thin and nerdy. He was Mr. Noodle on Sesame Street.
Wow, okay.
And he is not, like, and apparently he at the time they made the movie, he was very sick from cancer and died.
Yeah,
but just like even if he had been in like the peak of health, you would not have looked at this guy and gone, "This is the Vin Diesel role. This is the Jason Statham role.
Yeah.
This is not the Michael Jeter role." He dies really hard in the film too. But it's just
I know him.
Yeah, Mr. Noodle.
No.
What do you know?
Earl Leedy from Drop Zone, the little whiny guy in Drop Zone. I remember him now.
Can you picture him leading a band of hard-ass mercenaries on an island full of dinosaurs?
Not at all.
Exactly.
Not at all.
I pointed this out as a flaw in the film, and someone said, no, that's what makes it great. And I'm like, okay.
What?
I get you, buddy. I get where you're coming from. But this is someone who's watching it for camp versus someone who's watching it for legitimate whatever. Legitimate's not the right word, but like I want it straight, not camp.
Yeah.
Although camp is best played straight. But anyway, the third film is okay. I'm actually mildly curious to revisit it. just because I haven't seen it in a while. But there's not, like I said, I mean, they do establish what happened to Alan. They establish what happened to Ellie, which they fix in Dominion. She's divorced her husband and her kids have grown up, so now she's available.
Right. my God. Okay.
You know, 30 years later, and
yeah,
and Alan basically follows her around like a puppy dog. Dominion is not a good film.
Isn't there like a fourth or sixth or seventh one coming or something? There,
I just said David Koepp is writing
the next one. Writing
the next one. Supposedly ScarJo is in it.
Interesting.
Nobody knows if it's a continuation of the story, which seems stupid, or like a reboot. I know they're doing a second series for Camp Cretaceous, which the plot is, I don't know, it's weird. They're off the island, but like there's a conspiracy to kill all the kids.
Oh my God.
And dinosaurs. Like, and the dinosaurs, they're using dinosaurs to kill them. I don't know. It's just like, I don't understand why. Like, that's Camp Cretaceous is a neat idea. I like the first couple seasons, but it got, I don't know.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy.
My thing is, and I think I said this on the Jurassic Park episode, my dream project, like when it first came out, like maybe for years afterwards, my dream project was like almost like a Love Boat or Fantasy Island type TV show that took place in Jurassic Park. But the park worked. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, people would come to Jurassic Park and they'd see the dinosaurs and stuff and then they'd have their stories play out. But it was like, I really like the first Jurassic World. I love like maybe the first 20 minutes of it, if that much,
mm-hmm.
when the park is open. And like, I love watching the rides and I love watching people see the dinosaurs. And then they had like, then there's a monster and chaos ensues. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. I'm not having fun anymore. I just, cause to me, I would absolutely be there opening day, you know, mm-hmm. first helicopter in. I would do that so hard. I love dinosaurs. I'm fascinated. Yeah. I would love to see them in real life. I mean, this is the closest I'm ever going to get. So, yeah, they're doing a fourth one. I don't know. They're never going to let the franchise go. So
no, they probably won't. The third one will be 25 years old in 2026. Are you willing to wait 2 years?
Well, I mean, I had seen Lost World on my own before we even
right.
tried to do this. Because right. it was just like, I can't remember if I'd been to Orlando at that point or if I was, you know, because I was going last year.
Yeah.
But whether it was because there's a video game that I really enjoy playing, surprise, surprise, called Jurassic World Evolution. Where you build your own parks.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, I was in the mood for it. And like I said, the music is fantastic. I listen to the music just anyway. But like, yeah, if you really want, like, if we're both still alive in 2 years, I mean,
let's hope.
Between the outside world and well, my body's falling apart. So you know.
Yeah.
Between everything, if you're still up for it in 2 years, yeah, we'll take a look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but yeah, looking at that, oof, that third movie, yikes! But
it's not yikes. It's just it's uninspired, and I feel bad because Joe Johnston directed it, and I like him. I mean, he did the first Captain America movie, which I loved,
mm-hmm.
And he's a big special effects guy. So he yep. had a hand in most movies that raised me. It's just uninspired. There's stuff that's not more stupid than stuff that's stupid in Lost World.
Right.
But because there's not like because Spielberg's not directing it, you can't gloss over it as easily. You know, it's like a boat goes through a thing of a bank of fog, and when it comes back out the other side, the pilot's gone. Something's killed him, and you're just like, yeah. Really? What got him? I mean, like. There's you know, I mean, it's famous for the Spinosaur, which apparently is the Spinosaur is a very complicated dinosaur.
Yeah.
That has a complicated history. I guess I'll save that for 2 years from now. but like nobody seems to be able to agree on what this damn thing was.
Oh, wow.
And in the movie, they treat it like a large terrestrial, like a rival to the T-Rex.
Right.
Which apparently is not what it was. Like that's pretty obvious because its mouth is shaped like a crocodile's. Its teeth are shaped like a crocodile, so it probably ate fish. But they treat it like a bigger, because it's bigger than a T-Rex. The whole thing is the Spinosaur is bigger than a T-Rex.
Right.
And I was, that was one thing I learned last year. Like, okay, well, we're probably not going to do Jurassic World 3. I'm going to geek on the Spinosaur for a minute. Like, one thing I learned last year was famously the Spinosaurus, the skeleton, or Spinosaur gyptus, was found by a German paleontologist in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he was German. And this was before World War II. And the only known skeleton was in a German museum in Dresden. For those of you who are not history buffs, things did not go well for Dresden.
No.
And I had always thought that it was lost forever and nobody really knew. And it turns out, I guess they have one in Japan now. They have a skeleton in Japan. Because I went to the Field Museum last year. And right. They have a most of the skeletons you see in museums aren't, particularly since the latter half of the 20th century, aren't the actual fossils. I think maybe like in some really old ones in Pennsylvania and maybe New York, those might be the actual fossils. But the fossils are too precious, too rare, too delicate to be put on display. So they're casts.
Yep.
So the Field Museum has a cast of a Spinosaur skeleton. I was like, where the hell did they get that from? How did this come? What is this? What is this wizardry? Since when do people know what these things look like? Apparently they found another one somewhere in Africa, and they got him in Japan. So,
wow.
But again, like it is technically a larger animal than the Tyrannosaur, but most people think it's not like another Tyrannosaur, like bipedal carnivore hunter. It's probably semi-aquatic because its mouth is just shaped all wrong.
Yeah, and let's face it, most regular people always thought of the Tyrannosaurus Rex as the big bad.
Yes, and that's one of the things that makes that movie controversial is the T-Rex and the Spinosaur fight. And the Spinosaur wins. Kills the T-Rex.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that pissed off a lot of fanboys.
I don't know about that now. Yikes.
Well, the animal, let me put it this way, the animal in the movie take a T-Rex.
Well, yes.
But what I'm saying is that's not a real Spinosaur.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 0 to 5, what are we rating Lost World?
Oh, God, I don't remember what I rated the original Jurassic Park.
I
would give this a 4. I love it.
Yeah.
But I also appreciate it has flaws.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. And just so I do it all the time, 4.0 for the GCR Universal Rating System. Really good. The overall quality is very high and surely to be a positive experience for all those that partake. The issues that are there are impossible to just ignore that part, but not predominant enough to have a large impact on your experience. Returning to it in the future may allow you to forgive certain problems, but may lead to discovery of new ones.
Yeah, I remember you the last time we did this, again, spoiler, we did this before. The last time you did ask me, are you ever going to revisit this? And I explained that I had in fact, before we even went down this road, just recently revisited it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, folks, I think that's going to do it. We got the ratings, we got everything else. Let's head to a quick ad break, and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
Hi, everyone. I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast. Here every week to talk everything DC. Movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it. Here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast. It's audio justice.
No. It's audio chaos. These wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform. Apple Podcasts. Google Play. Spotify.
Stitcher.
and everywhere you find great podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
No.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Quiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009, and what do we got coming up on the podcast? I don't remember off the top of my head. Let's see here. This is episode 84. Oh, next, we've got episode 85. We're going back to 12 months of Star Wars. We're doing Mandalorian season one.
Ooh, I was going to ask. I wanted a little heads up on that because there's like, what, 10 episodes?
Yeah, well, We can have plenty of time. There's no worries about the schedule. Don't worry about scheduling, but that's what's coming up next. After that, episode 86, if I can wrangle the time, Steve and Kevin, Steve, who co-created the GeekCast Radio Network with me, and his brother Kevin, they're going to join me for Gamer Origins, 30 questions all about playing video games. And then after that, it's pretty much all us from episode 87 to
I'm so sorry.
90. Stop
I'm,
it.
Not to you. I'm apologizing to the audience. I'm so, so sorry.
Stop it. Mando season 2, Boba Fuck, Last Crusade 35th anniversary, 12 months of Star Wars Mando season 3, and then Steve and I are going to do the Deadpool double feature before we end up seeing Deadpool and Wolverine.
Did you get your tickets?
Nope. I'm waiting for digital. I do not leave the house if I don't have to.
Then I promise I will spoil everything.
It's okay.
I'll send you personal messages on Facebook saying, oh my God.
I'll probably forget by the time we get there. And then after that, at some point this year, we will start the sequel trilogy. Oh, my neck.
I'm grumbling, but at least he spared me Obi-Wan.
Well,
the cruel boss man spared me Obi-Wan.
Like you've always
said. And Acolyte takes place 100 years before Phantom Menace, so we'd have to go back. We can't do that. So no. I'll have to watch that either.
Acolyte's just a movie, right? It's not
Acolyte's a TV series.
Oh.
I hate myself because of the premise. To me, the premise sounds kind of interesting, but I don't think they'd execute it very well, which is sad. But like, it's like there's twins, and the Jedi find one of them, I guess, and like train her to be a Jedi, and the other one becomes a Sith, mm-hmm. and starts killing people, and like there's the mix up, right? It's like, oh no, our friend who I've trained her whole life has turned on us. And so I actually think that's kind of not a terrible premise.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I know it's going to be handled. So like the trailer looks so bad.
I don't. No.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Like I'm not going to push you because then you're going to make us record it. And I'm, I've been in this funk because this was like the first live action Star Wars thing ever that I was like, I'm not gonna watch that. And that's
big. You know, for
we've hit. Yeah, I was six when Star Wars came out. Like this has been my whole life kind of revolved. I mean, for good or bad.
Yeah,
it's revolved around this franchise, and this was like the big breaking point. And I'm like, well, you know, this actually sounds kind of like a, like a, in the right hands, I can see this being kind of a compelling story, but it's being made by Disney, so I don't know.
Yeah, and this TV series, the stars in this, at least according to Wikipedia, I only know Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah, don't get attached to her. She is the first Jedi to die. Everyone's calling it. We don't know for a fact.
Yeah.
But it's like there's one clip of her in the trailer, and then everyone talks about Jedi's being murdered, and it's pretty clear she's the first one to go. Like it's she's a, oh god, I'm so old, I can't remember what's her name from Psycho, but she's like the girl who gets killed in Psycho, who's Janet Leigh.
I don't know.
There was an onion tied in my belt. Like, but it was a famous thing in Psycho is they cast this famous actress who gets killed right at the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's Carrie Ann Moss in this.
Oh man, I kind of.
I know it's like they're evil. They're getting their tentacles into our heads, man.
Well, it's one of those things where so I'm on the Wikipedia page for The Acolyte, and I'm looking at the cast, and this is the reason why. Outside of Carrie Ann Moss, to me personally, Amanda Steinberg, Lee Jung Jae, Manny Giacchino, I know none of these actors and actresses. Whereas if this was the 80s, I would know Eddie Murphy. I would know Harrison Ford. I understand.
Yeah, welcome to being old, Spunky.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of which, it was Janet Leigh.
Janet Leigh, okay.
Psycho.
I'm hoping that Carrie Ann Moss's character is not the first to die because basically the role was inspired by Trinity from The Matrix.
I mean, that's kind of sad almost.
Yeah.
Like, this is the role you're allowed to play.
Well, no. Okay, oh boy. We're in a rabbit hole now, folks. I just clicked on Carrie. It's okay. We're gonna go.
Obviously, Sean Connery plays Sean Connery roles.
And, yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones plays Tommy Lee Jones in every movie, and
you're
like, I want that kind of. But it's like, I don't know. See, Carrie Ann Moss is just being Trinity because she was also in she was in the Netflix Marvel stuff as the lawyer lady Hogarth.
Yep. So going from Matrix, which was
99, I think. It was right around the time of Phantom Menace.
Yeah, no, yeah.
See, that's how big Star Wars is. I use it to mark time.
Yep, absolutely. 25 years. So after The Matrix, she was in Chocolat, which is nothing like The Matrix. Red Planet, The Crew, Memento, and then Reloaded in 2003. Revolutions in 2003. Suspect Zero, Disturbia, Love Hurts, Unthinkable, Silent Hill, Revolution. She was in a Silent Hill video game movie? Really? Yeah, it is. Okay, that's what I thought. It's based on the video game. Yeah. Past The Matrix Revolutions, none of her movies, I've not seen any of them that she's done. That's crazy.
I think the one you listed that I've seen is The Matrix. I didn't ever saw the sequels.
Oh, really?
I don't think I lost anything by that. Like,
no, not really. I mean, Reloaded and Revolutions are okay. The first movie is still the best one.
Well, yeah, because the first movie basically ends with, I have all the power and I'm going to kick ass. And it's like, okay, if you do a sequel, you're immediately going to have to backtrack on that. Which they did. Big time, from what I understand.
Yeah, pretty much. All righty. Anything else we want to say? Anything you want to promote? anything?
No, sadly, no. Our our old website's going away, so I have nothing to promote. The only thing I have to promote is apparently an endless line of videos or podcasts with you, buddy. And as I said, I apologize sincerely to our listeners.
Stop.
But yeah, no, I if you haven't seen Lost World, and you like action adventure movies with a dark twist, again, Aliens I think is a good comparison. It's one of the things I made a big point about the last time was that Spielberg, with the exception of the Indiana Jones movies, which I would argue aren't necessarily sequels. It's a series. It's like James Bond. It's a series. In fact, yeah. It was self-consciously like James Bond. I think we mentioned this in the actual Raiders section. He wanted to do a James Bond film, and Lucas said, "Oh, I got a better idea." like aside from those, he's never done a sequel, and Jurassic or Lost World is the only sequel Spielberg's ever done.
Yeah.
So it's for me, it's very fascinating. It's a little like I wonder what it would have been like if he'd done the third one. Cause I think I talked about this where, he did Raiders and then Temple of Doom was very dark. And then Last Crusade was very light. They took elements from the first film and then they played them up. And the same way Lost World took elements, the darker elements from the first film and played them up. What would a third one have been like? Would it have been more fun and more wonder, or would it, and I think that's one of the reasons he kind of stepped out because like instead of doing more with the formula, it just became formula.
Right.
But it is interesting that Spielberg, it's the only, in my opinion, and I'm picking hairs and or picking nits and whatever. it really is the only sequel that Spielberg has ever done.
Yeah,
I am aware of the Indiana Jones movies. I'm aware that exist. Those were a series.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcasting clients that are out there. Follow us on Twitter, Twix, X, whatever you want to call it, at Geekcast Radio, at ITSSTUDIO 2009 for Studio 2000. It's Studio 2009. I am TF21 Mike. Dave's not on Twitter. He does the Facebook stuff. That was almost a puppet mumble. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio network. You can also check out Studio 2009 over there, as well as the Toy World Order fans group. Join us next time when Dave and I will be heading off into a galaxy far, far away to check out The Mandalorian Season 1. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Dave Draper.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.